This is Michelle Batson, and this is Practical Applications, our fourth call in this series, and it is January. From. That's the place that the stories come from. That's the place that the rest of our lives comes from. That deep. So, this part of your video on will just matter to me. But find yourself a comfortable place.
Michelle? Can you put everybody on mute?
Into other things around you. Get some support for the head, either a blanket, a folded blanket, or a pillow, and place the support beneath your head and neck, just touching the shoulders but not beneath them. Lying on your back, bend your knees for a minute and take the flesh of the buttocks. You can use the hands, take the flesh of the buttocks and move that flesh toward your heels. Make space through the low back. Then extend one heel out and then the other so that the legs are a comfortable distance apart. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. Relax the legs. Take the arms bent for a moment and bend the elbows and dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Then release the arms down. The arms are straight, and they're in a low V, palms up position relative to the body. So the arms are maybe about 30 degrees away from the body. Softly close the eyes, and just let go. Let everything go, whatever you were doing just before this moment, plans for the day. We always only have access to the present. We live in a series of present moments. Shavasana teaches focus. It teaches the ability to go inward. It teaches us to quiet the mind so that behind all that chatter is something that's so much deeper of who we are and how we can be in the world. We call it in yoga the witness consciousness. So just let past and future go. Let the whole body release to the earth. Eyes closed. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot. And let it go. Relax the legs. Let them be heavy. The arms are heavy. The chest is light. And feel the center of the palms. Place your attention at the center of the palms for a moment. The softness at the center of the palms. Allow that softness to travel up the arms, forearms, upper arms, shoulders, throat, neck, scalp, face, forehead, cheeks and jaw, chest and go. Let the eyes sink back toward the heart, allowing the mind to become quiet. And I'm just about to mute all the participants. Thank you so much. Yeah, so just watch the breath. Heard a dinging or somebody arriving. Our lives are like that. There's this distraction and that one. This posture teaches us how to be the eye of the storm. So whatever else is happening around you, can you go inward? Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. Let the ears recede as well. So ears and eyes meet at a point toward the back brain. the traditional withdrawal of the senses. Feel the breath. Become curious about the breath. Curiosity of a child. Notice what it is today, this moment. Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or shallow? Ragged or smooth? Just notice. Can you observe without needing to change? Notice this breath here and now. We'll remain here just in the silence for a minute. Watch the breath. Practice is to watch the breath. And then if thoughts arise, as they will, just let them go. It's so unimportant right now. Just let them fade away due to lack of attention. Your focus is simply on the breath and, as though from far away, the sound of my voice. Remain in silence together just for a minute. Watch the breath. Feel any tension releasing with each breath. Coming to a place of ease, wholeness, joy, quiet, focused attention. Knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana. It begins just the thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso, feel the gentle movement of breath. And the knees gently roll to the right side. Support your head. Softly open the eyes. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. Keep the gaze toward the floor. To come back to our virtual circle. Now is a great time, if your video is off, to turn the video on. Thank you, Teresa, for that note. Remember to silence people's mics. It's a really good practice. If there's a distraction, what's your mind doing? I know one yoga teacher deliberately chose a place for a studio on a busy street corner in New York, I think it was. Practice, what's the mind doing? So coming back to our virtual circle, Caroline, thank you so much. First to join our circle visually, Yvonne, Karen, thank you. So great to see you here. And as you're coming into our circle, I'd love to hear from one or two of you, just a sentence or two. We train the mind over and over again to see what's beautiful, to see what's strong. The rest fades away, just as in how the thoughts that we don't need fade away in Shavasana. So there might have been 5,000 things distracting you. But there was one thing that you loved in this practice. Maybe there were many, but there was one thing. Can you find it? Can you focus on it? Can you pay attention? So I'd like to hear from one or two of you. What did you love? What stayed with you from this practice? Who would like to share? Who would like to share first? I'd like to hear from a couple of you briefly. Karen, thank you.
What has been very interesting to me is...
I don't know if it's the... sound is off, or you have unmuted, so it's at your computer.
So you can't hear me?
Oh yeah, it's getting louder.
Okay. That's interesting, because when you started, it was very, very...
I don't know. Oh, wait. It's at my end. It's not at your end, I think. I'm sorry. Everyone else was hearing you but me. I think it's these headphones that I have plugged in. Karen, say that again. It was me.
Oh.
Thanks, Ivania. It's all me. It's my end. Karen, go ahead.
So when we started today, because you didn't have your headset on, it was very, very low, right?
Sorry about that. Were you able to hear me?
Barely. However, what it did was it caused me to listen in a different way.
Wow.
There was a little bit of microphone noise from a person or two that wasn't muted.
Yeah.
And that initially was like, gosh, stop that, because that's all I could focus
right.
on. But then I was like, wait a minute, I can barely hear what she's saying. I want to hear what she's saying. So I was able to tune them out and bring you in closer. And this was the interesting part. Again, I've done yoga for a long time. All of a sudden I went, I'm not breathing into my belly at all. Because when I started belly breathing was when you came closer and closer and closer.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. Everything happens for a reason. That reason's there to serve me. So probably most of you could barely hear my voice. And what a fabulous use of that circumstance. I decided to use my earbuds at the last minute. Didn't realize that my headphones were already plugged in. And you must have been finding your way through it. Nobody alerted me to it. And so you were finding your practice in that. And how beautiful is that? When we can do that in our companies, maybe the launch doesn't go exactly the way we want. And we meet somebody networking and they give us that, look, or whatever it is. How can I use what's in front of me and see the beauty in it to create something even more beautiful? That's really powerful. I think it's one of the most powerful things I've heard from somebody. And there've been amazing comments in and around what happens during Shavasana. So everything happens for a reason. That reason's there to serve me. Really, really beautiful. I've never forgotten to mute. I don't think either. I wasn't hearing it as loudly because it wasn't in my ears, right? So what happens to you when something happens? It's really profound, powerful practice. Thank you, Karen. Beautiful. Yeah. Someone else, what happened for you? Might have been, can't hear Michelle's voice, King Concert, whatever it is, but there's one thing you loved, and maybe even in hearing Karen's voice and what she had to say, what did you love? What was beautiful here for you? One more. Yeah, thank you, Mary Kay. Oh, wow, no, I'm not hearing you. I don't know if it's my end or your end. Are you all hearing Mary Kay? Yes? No? You're not hearing her either. Okay. And Mary Kay, you are unmuted, so it must be volume.
Okay.
There it is.
I.
Yes, and they're going, yes, I hear Mary Kay. I love it. You guys are awesome supporting each other. Speak up loudly, Mary Kay, so we can hear you.
Well, I liked it because the sound was less. And I have a little bit of hearing.
Some people still can't hear you. So I think you're probably, if you can turn your volume up as far as you can. So interesting. Volume things happening here in this new year. What to make of that? I don't know. And turn it up as loud as you can and then really project, Mary Kay.
Okay, so I like the silence and I like that I could not hear you very well. And I do have some hearing loss, even though I have my hearing aids in, but it still was, it faded into sort of no voice, which is the way I like to meditate and go into myself. And so the silence within the noise was really nice.
Mm, beautiful. I love that. As we, as teachers, help people through meditation or Shavasana, the intention of the voice is actually to help you find that silence. So how interesting in this new year that we began with such silence. And there's a world to notice in what's happening in the mind. And if those things are happening in the mind when we're practicing like this, you can bet that they're happening out there when we're networking, when we're speaking, when we're trying to find words to write on our landing page, and so on and so forth, all the areas of our business. So
highly instructive to see what's going on and to do it where it's a little easier, where there aren't so many distractions, and to train the mind, to quiet the mind. That is the definition of yoga, citta vritti nirodha. Yoga is the stilling of the fluctuations of consciousness. And to me, as we stop that mind stuff, that's the foundation for far more words that are far more impactful, far deeper, able to be heard. All right, so welcome back. It's been several weeks since we've been together. So I'm sure that if you're anything like me, a whole lifetime of experiences has happened. It feels like about many, you know, feels like years since I've seen all of us in this format. So I want to start with just a couple of, let me see, reminders. So first, we have two calls left in this series, not one, but two, because we have a bonus call. So next week and the week after. So we meet this week, next week, and the week after, same time, same place. And in this series, when I ran it in this summer, it was the first time I taught this series, we had so many questions, we were overrun. And one call just ended up being right in the middle of it, a Q&A call, because there were so many questions. And this time around, unless I missed them somehow, I even tested it. It's like I put in my own question in case that, you know, for some reason I wasn't receiving them. I received my question, didn't see any other questions. That's on me and on the technology probably, because we're using a different technology than we used to use to post questions. So I want to really encourage you to post questions for the next couple of calls. If you don't know how to do so, it's over there in the Story Freedom Academy. There's a place for posting questions. Many of you have found that already. If you have trouble, accessing, you should be able to access that through the emails in your inbox. You can also email Emily, Emily, at michellegunderson.com. So let me know what your questions are, because we've got a couple more calls together and I really want to know what you want to know so I can best serve you. And if it's that, wow, you know, Karen asked a question, but Michelle, did you address it directly? Is Karen's question fully addressed? So will Michelle answer the questions? As I say, the first time I ran this, we took a whole class just on questions. So if you ever feel like your question wasn't answered too, just repost it again or raise your hand and go, wait, Michelle, you haven't answered it yet. And we'll dive in. So just a call out for questions. One of my teachers taught me, you know, if there's anything going on with the students, or they're not understanding, or anything's happening, it's always on the teacher. So that's on me. Absolutely on me. But I would love to hear your questions. And let me see. So just a reminder of where we've been. So actually, I want to tell you where we're going to go first. Today, sales and offers. Next week, how do we take that online to marketing and online places and landing pages and so on? And the week after that will be largely Q&A, dependent on how many questions you ask me. And then also some of the other places where we use our words. So we might be touching on team, media, TV, video, joint venture partners, affiliates, wherever is the most interest. We use our words everywhere in our companies. So on that last call, we just did a deep dive in a small group call with my community yesterday. So a couple people in a small group, and we did some amazing work on how to use your words on TV. So, you know, there's so many things that you can be asking, or but I don't know where your greatest interests are. I do have your initial surveys, but those questions might have changed as well since you filled it out as we're hitting things. So please make sure you ask me. That's a bit of a preview of what's to come, and then where we've been. Do I want to do that first? Yes, let me remind you of where we've been, and then we'll start moving into sales and offers today. And I'd love to hear a couple of your wins, what's been rolling for you, but I want to remind you of some of the places where we've been, because you might forget the things that we've been doing. Let me see anything else. And also, if you have questions through this call, I will do my best to answer questions. If you have questions about sales and offers, just jot them down. And if we don't get to your question, if I don't have an open Q&A time, because nobody's posted a question, then post it for the next time, and we'll make sure to pick it up next time. And I'll see if I can leave space. Yvonne, will you make sure or help me to leave at least a few minutes for questions? Help me out. Okay, thank you so much. So, where we've been, practical applications, getting results with your words, begin close in. So we did a lot of work. Well, how do we meet people? What do we do when we're networking? If we can't talk to one person and have them interested in our work and wanting to take next steps, how do we imagine? How can I imagine that the world then out there somewhere, people in general are going to hear me? So we start, it's one of the principles I've been teaching, start close in. That's why we began with networking. And speaking live, go to speaking virtual after that. Go, you know, start close in with real live people with eyes and nose and ears and a smile that you can see, and then move to those faraway places, like creating copy for a string that follows an offer. So a string of emails that follows an offer or a landing page or your bio and so on. Once you know close in, you can move progressively further and further away and have words that will really, really land. So four principles of persuasion. 100 years ago when we were studying this, do you remember what they were? And it came from that story about my daughter, where she got up and went to the other room when she was tired, didn't want to. Why did it happen? Happens there in the same way that it happens out there in the world. Do you remember what those four principles are? Anyone? I know it's been weeks. If you don't remember, I don't mind, but that's why I'm reviewing it here and reminding you. We've been more places than you may remember. Four principles of, yeah, Marie, thank you.
One of the principles is relationship.
Yes, relationship. I'm not going to review what these things are. They go refer to the previous calls, Erin.
Oh, I was just going to say them. Yeah, relationship, empathy, your word skill, and the genre and the context.
Yes, exactly, the genre. What kind of speaking in, situation am I in? Exactly. And that got her up off her seat to come and talk to me. And those are true. We worked with them very closely in networking, and that follows true all the way out to how do you write your landing page, for instance. We talked about, and by the way, let me see. I have a really nice handout that I haven't given you yet. Let me see if I can find it. It's going to look like this. Right? Emily made it, and she said, hey, Michelle, can I send this out? And I dropped the ball. So it will be over there in our Story Freedom Academy for you, just as a visual reminder for you. We talked about networking personalities to emulate and avoid, and in that I do have the handout for you, so you can access that, print it out, have some fun with it. Don't let this make you be afraid. It's like, oh no, am I being a Debbie Downer? Something's wrong. You're going to end up turning into Debbie Downer just by being worried about it. But notice, be playful. Watch when somebody is out there talking to you or you're talking to them. Are we actually playing some of these roles? And last time on the call, we talked about how those four principles of persuasion are crossed when we're being one of these networking personality, Miss Spewitt, is not interested in relationship whatsoever. It's just like, and I'm in danger of that here, right? If I don't find out what your questions are and what it is that you need, what it is that you want, but I'm in a particular context. I have a different genre here. Right now I'm facilitating, I'm teaching. If I do that over there in a different genre, the genre of networking, that kind of speaking situation of networking, I'm going to end up feeling, it won't feel so good. There's no relationship. There's no empathy, right? Word skill, maybe I might have the best elevator pitch, but if I just spew, it's not going to work. I'm not understanding the genre that I'm in. I'm not understanding. I'm networking. So we connected those. We start from close into far away. We talked about the four principles of persuasion, then networking personalities to emulate and to avoid, and be playful with that. Notice when it's happening. See if you can adjust and have fun with it. And then I will also give you a handout on this. Didn't have this. We didn't have any of these handouts last time I taught this, and I just wanted to put them in front of you visually. It's going to be much prettier when Emily makes it up for you. There'll be some branding, and it'll look nicer, all right? But this is seven principles of networking magic, my version. Emily's will be prettier, and we'll get that to you hopefully in the next week. She's working on it now. Seven principles of networking magic, and that's to create connection, listen, uplift, serve, go for the long game, create the gap and curiosity, go slowly to go quickly. We went over all these things. They'll be in a nice handout for you. You can go over them, and it's not rocket science. It's more like play with it, notice it, see what's happening. We did eight. Okay, good. It's eight networking do's and don'ts, and I thought I saw 10 little ticky marks again. I'm just creating these materials for you in this form, right? So eight networking do's and don'ts. And they are, sometimes it's things we learned in kindergarten, you know, be genuinely interested in that person's welfare, help the conversation around the table, some of the networking do's, right? And even though it's like principles from kindergarten, and these are the things that will help us find the words, when you go out there and you're meeting people one-on-one, most of the time these principles are crossed, and that's why the words aren't working, right? I've got a perfect picture, perfect elevator pitch, but I'm not listening to that person in front of me. I'm just spewing it out. I'm leaving no space for them to interact, and so on. Keys to great, 10 keys to great speaking. We went over these last time, I believe, right? We went over them pretty quickly. Yes, thank you, Caroline. So we started close in with networking. We always move from close in to far away. Those four principles of persuasion will always be important in every kind of word situation. We talked about how we do that in networking. We did a deep dive, and then we took it out to speaking. And I want to see what you remember from, and if you remember nothing, that's okay. It's not a test. It's just if you hear it from somebody else's voice other than mine, I'll sound less like Miss Spewitt. And will hear it better. And then it will let me know some of the things that you recall, what was most important to you. What are some things that, and Marie, where can I access these resources Michelle's just referred to? Some of them are already posted in the Story Freedom Academy. Some of them are not yet posted there and will be posted this week. Karen, so you sent me a question. All right, so Yvonne, when you're reminding me about questions, will you remind me that Karen has a question on deck? And then we'll get to that a little later, I think. And let me see. Yeah, it's a big question, so let me handle it a little later. And Karen, you too. You can go, hey, I want that question addressed, and raise your hand before the end. So I want to right now be a little bit like Miss Spewitt, but just give you a framework to remind you we've been more places than you might have remembered about where to find your words. I'm not teaching, I'm just reminding, all right? So thank you for that. And yeah, thanks, Erin. When they're done, they'll be in the forum. Just a reminder about some other resources that you have in the forum. There are the transcripts of every call that we've done so far. So some are visual people. If you're visual, go through them, circle things, make arrows. It might be some of the places where you have questions. We did something, it doesn't make sense yet, or you want elaboration on that. So if I were you, I'd be going through these, read through them again, and play with them, and notice, and circle, and underline, and so on. They're there to be used. Let me see. Let me remind you too, before I ask you what you remember about speaking. Do you remember I showed you this? I don't have this up in the forum yet. Yvonne, will you do me another favor and send a quick text or a note to Emily that says, can we put Michelle's speaking storyboard up in the forum? And then, because I will forget, but Emily will remember. Thank you, Yvonne. So one of the things I taught you is that a talk is really simple structure. I'm giving you one of them. It's like the 5-paragraph essay, right, from that we learned in high school and forgot. And this storyboard of my talk, and this very simple talk, it's like a 20-minute talk, and that has resulted in often $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of business in 20 minutes, right? And it has this simple structure. So people complicate things. It's like a 5-paragraph essay. What are the things I want to tell them? Tell them three, teach them some things that are valuable. Tell them how to get more. We overcomplicate things. And when we follow these simple structures, we can get real and lasting results. So I gave you one of the principles. I reminded you of some of them. I want to go back to where we were again, because sometimes we do things and you might not notice we're doing them, because I kind of like to come in the back door around things. But I want to let you know that we've been doing a lot around how to find words, where to begin from, close in to far away, the principles of persuasion and so on. So 10 keys to great speaking. What are some of the things you remember? I told you one of them, simple structure. Yeah, Erin.
The single, I don't think you described it this way, but the single pointed focus, your talk should have like one main message, as in, if your business doesn't have this, it won't succeed.
What's the single domino? That's the language I used. I just learned that language recently, and I love the way that the image of that too, a single domino. It's like, a domino goes down. Isn't that how it goes, right? They'll follow. And so when there's a belief in the audience and that one, when you can make that one shift, then they will move, like they'll be moved to action. In one, and I'm less, concerned about, can I nail it exactly down? But to have that idea in my talk, you know, can I tell you exactly what it is? Probably what it is that when I can have people understand that stories are everywhere, it's not just that little blurb that you're doing in one piece of your talk, but the stories are in people's heads. They're in your own head. Like in, that's why we do Shavasana. They're in how you walk onto stage, how you're holding your butt. Like when you understand that, then, so we really need to understand how stories work, but I don't know how your story works, right? So come and talk to me, because I'll help you find, you know, what stories might be holding you back, what stories will set you free. That's the essence of my talk. And it's a single domino, one thing. When you can get one thing across, and when you can find that thing that will really make that difference, it's a mind shift. It's something important from your field. Yes. Thank you, Erin. Beautiful. Caroline, I saw your hand up too.
Probably the most important thing that stuck with me, because I was getting ready to go out and do a talk, was problem, solution, problem, solution. Yes. And moving people from pain to hope.
Yes.
Those two things, because, yeah.
Yes, those were the last two, right? And that moving people from pain to hope, that's going to, you're going to see that as we work from one genre to another, one speaking situation to another, that those translate. When you learn the principles, you go, oh my goodness, I already know how to do sales. From pain to hope is going to be the same thing, same trajectory, right? So pain is, oh my goodness. So you could feel it in my talk, for instance. You mean stories are everywhere? It's not just that I've got to get this picture perfect little thing, or I could hire somebody to do, you know, organize my talk for me, but that what I'm thinking in that moment when I'm saying it, if I'm thinking something that goes over this way, even as I have those picture perfect words, you really, it's not going to land. That's part of the pain for my talk. Right? You're all feeling that pain right now, right? And then the hope, yeah, but when we can master story, when we can understand story at a really nuanced level, anything you can learn about story will help set you free. It's why my company's called Story Freedom. So you can see in my words, the essence of my talk, it moves from that pain to that hope. I have different talks, but they do that same thing, moves from pain to hope. And then problem, solution, I learned that language from my teacher, Lisa Sasevich, want to give her credit. But, you know, Jeff Walker teaches this, Sandra Yancey teaches this. Anybody who does well with the talk is doing this. I love the way she put it. You had an initial problem, then you solve it. Now they've got a remaining problem. And the problem is, like, you don't know what the stories are for you. Do you want to come and talk to me? Can I let me help you with that story? So when we, and it's, I think probably all those pieces are important, but if we just know that, if we just actually solve problems for people, it's again, it's kindergarten stuff, right? Actually solve a real problem for a person, see what problem they have remaining. And then that's the thing that is the next step. That is, most people don't do that, clearly. They don't do that with specificity or with clarity. When you do that, you are already miles ahead of what so many, even professional speakers, are doing. It's what gives people that aha moment. It's what makes them feel like they got something worthwhile. They've got something they can chew on, something they can do something with right now. And you don't end up over-delivering, like, oh, not over-delivering, but because I believe in over-delivering, give more. But you don't end up delivering so much that they're full. You don't get false closure. Great, I got everything now. Because you've told them, now you're here. Now you have this problem. And how do you know that? Because you've talked to a lot of people over there in networking, right? And also you've talked to people making offers and sales. We'll talk about that piece of it today, right? So thank you, Caroline. Yes, move from pain to hope and problem, solution. It's more memorable when you all are saying this, not necessarily in any particular order, Marie. So we'll spend a couple minutes on this so we can consolidate things where we've already been and then build on that for the next place. Where in the Story Freedom forum you're asking now? So, Did you find
Juan
it?
Juan is texting Emily, and we're working it out behind.
Okay, good. And so, yeah. Marie, go ahead.
I think this is where the idea of the gap comes in, and there's something that you were going to do some additional teaching about the gap. I'm to remind you of that.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much about that, because that's huge. And if that word gap doesn't come out of my mouth when we're talking about sales, somebody please, Marie, will you please remind me again? All right. So, And I don't, let me think here. I didn't even put down the gap in this handout for you, but really it's implicit in what Caroline just talked about. If there's a pain, if there's, when I say move from pain to hope, and I could do a whole day's training on just moving from pain to hope and how that happens. So there's more behind each one of these lines than we have time to go into here, but creating a gap, if there's pain, it, in my field, it might be, well, story is that important. I don't actually really know that much about story. So how am I going to, how am I going to create a story that engages my audience when I only, when I can't even remember what I learned about story in high school and I don't really know how it works. And I don't, yeah, so there's going to be a gap then between what, where that person is and where they want to be, and that's pain, right? And it's not that we're producing pain in people. We're not. I know that with such heart-centered people, I wrestled with this for quite a while, which sounds kind of funny, because now I really love what some people would call sales conversations, and I love when people leap in and believe in themselves and take steps forward. But that used to be harder for me. I used to worry that, but I don't want to put somebody in pain. I used to have that confusion. So I'm mentioning in case some of you do. So I don't want to talk to them and dwell on the things that are hurting them because I want to create solutions. But if someone will not clearly notice what's going on, wow, I've been in my business for a year or 2 years or 3 years and I haven't made any sales yet. We're not going to look directly at that, right? And say, well, maybe there's some pain there and there's a gap. Then what's the solution? We can't move forward. Well, no, I'm not listening and nothing, you know, everything's all good, but I've not made a single offer and I've not made a single sale in 3 years. That's a gap. We're not producing that in that person. We're helping them to see what is so they can see where they want to move to, right? So moving from pain to hope. And that word gap is not on the page. Maybe it will be in the next iteration, but it's it'll come in with sales for sure. And it's there from the pain to hope. Yes, thank you. Let me just really run through this quickly because I want to go quickly over to sales and offers. So a couple more things about speaking and reference the last call and reference the transcripts that are in the Story Freedom Academy. So you can go back to this and find more details there. If it's unclear, ask me questions and so on. So number one, again, I'm not teaching this, just reminding you of some of the principles. And when you, hopefully if you were here, you'll recall, all right, we did that. Number one, begin with the end in mind. Where do I want them to be? Where do I want them to go? And the talk is structured around that. Number two, know your audience and purpose. Did I tell the story about Uncle Bob? I think I did, right? So you have to know the audience. You have to know the purpose. I've done whole VIP days with clients diving into what's your audience exactly and what's your purpose with amazing results, right? So, but I did the, and I used to teach that over 2 hours at the university. We did the about 3 minute training on that, right? But if you want to know more about that, ask me questions. So you have to know that very specifically. And it's a generalized version of ideal client and offer, for instance, right? Your ideal client is your audience, and your purpose is to make an offer sometimes. But if you really understand audience and purpose, you know what to do in sales, you know what to do when you're doing landing pages, you know what to do you have a much more flexible model that will take you everywhere. I told you I wasn't going to teach, and I'm still doing a bit of teaching here around what these are. Create a simple talk structure, showed you this, right? Ho-hum, so what? Imagine they're bored at the beginning and ask yourself the question, so what? So they don't. Why does that matter, right? Why does it matter? Why is it so important? What's a single domino? Aaron made that point. Number five, number six, make one point and find details to support it. One point. What's the one thing I want to say? When I'm talking about stories are everywhere, I just want people to understand that stories are everywhere. When I'm saying they're empowering and disempowering stories, that's the one point that I want to get across. All my stories, everything that I tell, all the if I'm talking about a case study or maybe I'm even interacting with an audience member, I need to know that it's going to land on that point. And again, these things, sometimes they seem obvious, but they usually aren't done. People don't do that. then the audience feels confused. What's their, number seven, what's their top of mind problem? What's their top of mind problem? With my talk, people's talk of mind problem usually isn't how do I create a story? Because people don't know how much it touches on every single piece of their business. So that's another top of mind problem. So for instance, that talk that I was just showing you is called Stories That Sell, because people know they need to sell, right? So I'm connecting what I know people need with what they want. And if they know that they want to sell, but there maybe you can hear the pain behind that, they're not quite selling the way they want to, and they know story has something to do with it, because if they're an entrepreneur and they're even a little bit further along, the further along an entrepreneur is, the more they know how much story matters, right? So if they know they want stories that sell, it's possibly that my ideal client is going to be in there. All right. So what's their top of mind problem? Number 8, keep it simple. Again, I've witnessed this, right? Number 9, move from pain to hope. And 10, problem solution. So I will have this prettier version of this handout. Oh yeah, and I wrote down gap everywhere, right? Gap. Thank you, Marie. Right. And I want you to do these same things. I do that with my own materials, right? Write on them and make arrows and, you know, ask yourself questions about it. All right. So that's some of the places we've already been in 3 calls, right? And I wanted to remind you, because it's been several weeks, and then I want to build on what we've already done. And we've done way more than that, but those are just some of the highlights. Go back to the transcripts, go back to the recordings. And we also have a whole other training that I did, and that whole training is in there as well. So plenty of resources to help you out. Just wanted to give you a quick structure to remind you, because it's been a few weeks. I want to hear a couple of ahas. Just, it could be from that, reminding you of some places we've been to. One thing that stays with you, what did you hear here? Because it helps me hear what you've heard, and it helps me know that we're making progress here, that we're making changes with how you're going to use your words in all those different areas. Thank you, Marie.
Well, I've been thinking about having a single-pointed focus for my talk. And so my aha is I really need a single-pointed focus for my business.
Yes, these guidelines that we're learning here will help you in so many other areas. It'll help you find the words, but it'll help you construct your business and help you. When I hear them, they help me live a better life as well. How do I talk to my daughter in ways that she'll hear? How do I talk to you when the hotel has overcharged me, you know, or whatever it is, or something bad is like wonderful things happen. How do I, when I'm negotiating with a venue and they say the room is, I think it's $900 a day, but I get it for $300, you know, like in negotiations, these principles help everywhere. Single pointed focus. As I go into that conversation, I want to know what's my focus. I don't want to pay $900 a day. I want to pay something else. And I know other people do too. And I know that person will do that for me, and they do. Right? I'm not trying to manipulate somebody, it's not power over. It's that as we speak, I know what can be possible, and it's win-win, because I bring all these people to their venue and more people find out about it. When it's a venue that I only take people to places that I love, and then more people come, and then they bring their families, and so creating win-win situations, right? So single pointed focus for my talk, single pointed focus for my business. And I would have lost all of you as I was, it's true for teaching too. I brought it back to the single focus, which was in this moment, what Marie had to say. I went over here, but then I pull it back to that single pointed focus. Right. When I have a single pointed focus for my talk, it reminds me to have a single pointed focus for my business. All right. Beautiful. Let's hear one more aha. What's opening for you now? Thank you, Sherry. And then Karen. And Sherry, oh, you're muted.
I'm getting ready on Monday to do the start of a 3-part webinar. And I've been, I won't say struggling, but it's just kind of seemed like something's not in sync. And when you said have a single point of the presentation, it's like, oh, I am talking, I've been putting together answers to a question that I haven't made, that the point that I haven't made.
Thank you. So, it's more common than you would think. Because we have, for me too, I work with words and stories, it happens to me. I've been doing it for 25 years, and that's part of the problem. Because we know the intricate details of all these things that are ours to play with. And so we want to tell people some intricate detail over here. It's like, oh, wait, haven't told them this one thing, what it's all about, why it matters. Because to us, it's so obvious we can't see it. Let me give you an example of that. So Anatomy of an Empowering Story, hopefully by now you've all read it. The structure of that, my friend Jennifer, who is one of my accountability partners and an amazing, amazing teacher, Jennifer Deep Stratton, she's, when I wrote Anatomy for the first time, when I wrote it about 3.5 years ago, the structure of it went something like this. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories. And she was one, it was in discussion with her that I realized, oh, wait, I have to tell people you can choose an empowering story. You can choose the last part of Anatomy. It seemed to me obvious, right? If they're empowering, disempowering stories, you're going to want to choose the one that's empowering. But it wasn't happening with people. It'll stay at the level of theoretical information. That's nice. There's all these stories out in the world. They're in the world. Oh, wait, I can choose. I get to choose that. I couldn't see that until I was in dialogue with somebody else who knew my work well, who it was a central point that needed to be said. But I couldn't see it because it seemed obvious to me because I've been doing this for 25 years with thousands of people. And as you dive in, it's going to happen with that individual, but maybe not if they're just reading it. So we have to actually say the thing that we can't see because it's too close to us. Yes, beautiful. What's my single point? Karen, so thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. And see how I came back to that single point too. I did it even when I'm teaching. Because otherwise it's going to feel like we haven't learned something. And I went back to what are the single points of each of the pieces that we've learned. So it feels like we're learning things all the way along, but you might not know that you are unless I can gather them together and say, here's a thing, and here's a thing, and here's a thing, right? Karen, go ahead.
Okay. So now you've just sent me off on another whole wiggly line, because what I was originally going to say, I mean, I'm still going to say it is, I'm getting ready to do my first live talk. I need to have a chat with Caroline to find out how hers went on January 3rd. I kept on meaning to check in with her to see how it went, but I'm getting ready to do my first live talk to people that I don't know at all. The only thing we have in common is we're horse owners. That's the only thing we have in common. So I took of the 10 principles, I'm looking over them and I'm going, okay, check, 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 check. Begin with the end in mind. Of course I begin with the end in mind. I'm used to speaking to people who, it's an assumption between us. We already know what the end is. So I don't have to start talking with the end in mind with them because we already have a relationship. But I don't have a relationship with these people except for that we all own horses. So that made me totally change how the script was written. Mm-hmm. So that in itself was really cool. But what you just addressed for Marie just then was I have to let them know that they can choose why and how to change their relationship with their horse. That's what was missing. That's how the end of the talk now goes. What I thought would have been the beginning is now the end. What should have been the end is now the beginning. So that's really interesting how that flip-flopped around.
Awesome, Karen. And there's a couple things that I want to say in response to what you've said here. Remember when I said stories are everywhere? And is it all right, Karen, if I underline one of those?
Yes, please.
They happen in subtle ways, and we're not going to go down this rabbit hole too far, but I want to go a little bit so you can hear this. Stories are everywhere. One of Karen's things she said at the beginning, it's my first live talk. The only thing we have in common is horse owners. That's not true. I don't believe you. Actually, I'm sorry. I mean, I know. You probably have all kinds of things in common.
True.
And when I come in with that assumption, I'm going to come in a lot more scared than I need to be.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep.
That's an illustration of stories are everywhere, right? Which is why, you know, we want to know more and more about story, because if I walk in with that assumption, already my talk is in a different place than it could be if I walked in with a very different assumption. A story and an assumption, it's not just an assumption, it's a whole story. We only have this one thing in common. Can you hear all the stories that are behind in that? I this is my first talk. I wonder how Caroline's went, because I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, all those stories, I can hear them in Karen, right?
True. That is true.
Of course it is, because I've been listening and doing this with thousands of people for over, you know, 25 years, right? So as we shift that story, that talk will come out differently. Then begin with the end in mind. I want to be very specific about this. The end is, what's your call to action? What do you want them to do? When I am giving this talk, which I'm doing, not for you guys, it's for a different group. It won't even be in your inbox, but I'm teaching this call. I'm doing this talk on Thursday to a group of people that I just met. And when I give this talk, what I'd like them to do, I want them, if it's a talk and they don't know me, I want them to want an Adam Eve empowering story because I want them to read it. Takes a deeper step, and then we're in a relationship. Then we're connected, and I can start a relationship with them, right? I want them to want anatomy. That is the end. And I want them to want to come talk to me, usually, not always, usually. Come and have a strategy session with me. This leads to our conversation today, all right? And so those are the things, that is the end. So everything in this talk is designed to have them do that. And some of you have been in the audience when that's happened. So for instance, when I spoke for eWomen, Erin, in front of your audience, and what did everybody do? They all run up and they go to the back table and everybody's signing up for anatomy and everybody is like wanting to come and talk to me. Why does that happen, right? So it's because the whole talk is structured around that. And the problem, solution. Will be your key to that. The end that you have in mind is your ultimate solution. In this case, it's go get anatomy and come talk to me. That's the end. And the problem is, I don't know about your story. Come and talk to me and get anatomy to learn about stories, more about it than I have time for here. And come and talk to me because I can help you with your particular story. I don't know what it is unless we talk. Right? So that's the end, a very specific call to action. What do you want them to do? Because if people aren't doing things in response to your words, you don't have a business, right? People aren't doing things in response to your words, you don't have a business. Because people need to do something and ultimately you're making an offer and people are taking it, which leads us to today's talk, right? Or today's material, right? So fantastic ahas. This helps us dive into and remember where we are and also start to open up that material further. Hopefully you've already learned at least one thing that will change something about how you use your words and change something for your business. Now I was asking for ahas before. Now I'm saying, is there anything that you want to say without which we cannot move forward? It's like it's just bubbling up inside you. Yes. Oh, thank you. Grace, go.
So I think for me, regarding these 10 principles, I added an 11th based on what we just spoke about with Karen, which is be aware of the assumptions we might be making about the audience or the groups in whom we're speaking. Because that was just a perfect example. And I thought about the various groups that I might speak to, and I realized I'm making assumptions about them that potentially limit what I'm capable of offering.
Thank you. And you could add it as number 11. I could teach you 100 principles. These are ones that are foundational. I could teach all week, or I could do an entire year. There's so much to each of these, but let me at least give you the principles that you can take and run with them. And so that could be like underneath number 2, know your audience and purpose. That's right. That falls right underneath number 2. Know your audience has multiple subpoints. And you could, if somebody asked me, tell me more about audience next time, I'll dive in further. All right. As I say, at the university, I taught for 2 hours just on point 2. I did about a 5-minute training on that because I don't want to give you just that. I want to give you some other principles as well. Thank you for underlining that, Grace. Fantastic. So to know that under each one of these, we can dive deeper and deeper and deeper, and also that you can take each one of these and run with it. If you just learned one of these keys to great speaking, if you understood and really dove into, you know, what's the single domino that will change your talk. Every single one of these will change your talk. And you can go into even just, if you just dove into one of these, you will be so far ahead of the vast majority of speakers out there, even professional speakers. They miss so many of these points so often. I see people on stage all the time and going, oh, please don't say that. Oh, no, right? I'm just like, my heart is with them. I'm like, oh, right? And oh, yes, good, yeah, go, yes. Oh, yeah, now, right? I'm like the cheerleader in the audience, right? So, yes, good. All right. Anything else? So thank you. Beautiful, Grace. Anything else bursting to be said? It's just something bubbling up inside. You really want to share it, without which we can't go forward. Okay, awesome. Thank you. And I just, can you see that's a mini shavasana, a mini space, a pause? Because if inside even one or two of you, there's just all this stuff still going like this, going like this, going like this, it changes the energy in the room and we don't have the space for the next thing, right? So, I mean, I could have added that to 10 keys to great speaking. Make sure you pause. I mean, there's so many things. Where would that go? I didn't put it in there. There's other principles I could put in there, but we will learn it somewhere else. And that's going to come in sales, for example. All right. And everything that you learn in one genre probably applies to the other genre as well. When you learn about networking, I'm calling them genres, right? You learn about networking, it's probably going to apply over there in speaking. It's what you learn in speaking, it's probably going to apply over there in sales. You just have to know a little bit more about that genre. Let me give you an example again. When I'm teaching, sometimes I'm a little bit more like Miss Spewitt. I'm just giving things. And that's going to be a little bit more appropriate if I'm teaching and training. I can do that a little bit, but if I only do that, I do that at my own peril. I will lose all of you. But I have a little more leeway for that than over there in networking. So the genres are a little bit different, for instance, right? But the foundational principles, the four principles of persuasion are the same. You can ask yourself, if I'm beginning with the end in mind, I could apply that. Ask yourself, ask questions about it. I didn't put that over in networking, but you could. As I'm walking into a room, what do I want to get out of this today? I want to meet two new people that I want to connect with. When I begin with the end in mind, I'm going to go into that networking situation differently. So the things that you're learning in one area, you can also apply in the other areas. One more point that I want to mention that we learned, I didn't know I was going to teach you here, was a piece that I learned from Natalie Goldberg and elsewhere as well, but you already know so much about words. I think that was the very first call. Whatever you're an expert in, go and apply that to words and you will know so much. If you're an expert in, I did this with my students at the university often. You know so much more than you think about words. And one of my students was kind of the smart aleck in the back of the class. It's like anything you're a real expert at, you're going to learn a lot about words. He goes like, here's what I like to do, Michelle, I'm an expert in sleeping. I like to sleep. And it's like he wanted to catch me. Okay, great. Good words require a pause, right? Sleeping's a wonderful pause. I can't remember how the conversation went, but whatever you're an expert in, go and apply that over there to your words and you'll know more than you think. I wanted to underline that one as one of the places we've been to, because that's so powerful. If you only learn that one thing, there are many things like this in this series. If you only learn that one thing and actually apply it, it's going to make a huge change in how your words land and how you structure your business and in how you're heard in the results that you get. Okay. Now, anything bursting to be said, I added another piece. So I'm going to create another pause. All right. So actually, I think what I want to do I want to do this? Let me go back. I have to scroll back over here. How do we shorten the story for East Arena? Okay. So Karen, you posted a question, right? Just want you to know what question Karen's question was. Thinking of the principles of persuasion, because you only sent it to me, Karen. Didn't know if you knew that. It's just sent to me. So thinking of the principles of persuasion, how do we shorten the story for easy to read and understand sales offers? Especially if you aren't known except locally and goal is to find ideal clients, which might not be in your local area. Let me see. So I just want to think about this because this question's on the table. Just give me a second here. How do we shorten the story for easy to read and understand sales offers? All right. Here's what I'm going to say. If we want to understand how to write a sales page, for instance, like when you say sales offer and it's reading and understanding, it's a sales page. We're going to go into that more deeply next time, because just like how we've got to learn how to network first and then we can speak, we need to learn how do we talk to somebody in a one-on-one sales conversation before we can put it on a page. So I think what I want to do is give you a short version of that answer so you've got something to run with. And then Karen, go ahead and repost it for next time, okay? But let me give you a short version of it. And also it might change as a result of today's material. But here's what I want to say. Just like we need to move from networking to speaking, we won't know what to say from stage if we haven't been talking to some people, right? So talk to people. What is their pain anyway? And right? So, and then we can move it onto a live stage. which is easier than a virtual stage, easier than we can't see people and so on. Always start close in. Remember that principle, start close in, then move to far away. Same thing. How am I going to go make that sales offer on my landing page? Well, be in conversations with people. It's the same principle, close in to far away. And when I know how to make that offer, when I'm talking to a real live person, I'll have a much better idea of what to put on that page. And if I'm talking to a real life person with eyes and nose and a mouth, and they start yawning or they start yelling or throwing tomatoes at me, well, like, work with it there, right? Work with it there. And then sometimes as people come talk to me, they're like, hey, Michelle, you had me at hello. And now we've been talking for quite a while, but like, I already knew that I wanted to do this. I'm leaping in. How do we create that, as I say, in that close-in situation, then we'll have a much better idea what to do over there on the landing pages. So I'll table that a little bit other than that one little hint, and then we'll talk more deeply about that next time. All right. So sales and offers. Man, I really want whole week to teach you this. So going slowly to go quickly. Sales and offers. So here's, I want to give a foundational principle in and around sales and offers. This is, you know, so that when I go and work with my trainer at the gym, I want to understand how his brain works. Do you get it? Or when I invested $30,000 to go work with Sandra Yancey, founder of eWomen Network, is because I wanted to sit beside her and understand how her brain works, right? So if I'm working with somebody in a particular field, I want to know how their brain works. If I can get in to, I'm trying to transmit to you the best I can, like how I think about story, how I think about words, so that it's not just a fill in the blank kind of thing, but you have a understanding, a feel for the game. Right? So I want to give you that feel for the game, how I think about sales and offers as the foundation for our discussion today, right? And how I think about sales and offers, it's the core of your business. It's the core of your business. If we don't have words that move people to action, we don't have a business. If we're not making offers, we don't have a business. We have a hobby. So when I understand that, and this was something for those who are in my community, we did a deep dive day long at the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, right, on Thursday. So you can hear all of that behind this. And for those who are in Karen's community who weren't there on Thursday, this will suffice for today. This, if we're not making offers, we don't have a business, we have a hobby. And that offers are a way of life. It's not like, how do I get it one and done? If I'm not continually making offers in my business, yeah, I have a hobby, not a business. So how and where then can I make offers? So, and an offer is just an opportunity for somebody to step in and do the work at a deeper level. And that's something that for me now is super fun, because for example, for those in Karen's community, I came and spoke with you guys for, was it an hour and a half in the summer? I can do so much, this a certain amount in an hour and a half, but when we've got this space, there's so much more time and space to play it, and I can teach so much more. There just isn't that time and space in an hour and a half. I can teach so much more in a week-long retreat in Mexico than I can in an hour and a half call every week, right? And I can teach so much more in a year, so for me, than I can in a week. So to me, it's fun to make offers, because there's someone in front of you. So it's a mindset. It's how I think about offers, right? When there's somebody in front of me, they've got pain in my area, and I have a solution sitting in my court. It's a disservice not to. Of course I'm going to want to make an offer, because if I don't, it means I'm hoarding the stuff that I have. I'm not helping them in the best way that I can. So to me, it's fun to make offers. It's a joyful place. And that's an internal story, right? That's a story that I'm not trying to convince myself of that. Can you all hear that? It's really actually how I feel. And so if you feel differently about offers, you've got a disempowering story inside you about offers that is impeding you at the core of your business. And you're going to want to play with that inner world story, because it's going to be an uphill battle. if offers are the thing that you dread, but you have to do because you're unfortunately running a business. Some of this whole bunch of disempowering stories and intertwined in that. So what are offers? They're at the core of your business. If you don't make them, you don't have a business, you have a hobby. And it's fun and it's a service to people because we're helping at the highest level. And then for those in my community, the whole day of the high ticket virtual retreat kicks in. How do we serve people at the very highest level that we're capable of? And we fulfill our purpose on this planet for what we're meant to do by serving at that highest level. All right. So how do we do so? Well, the easiest way to do so, how do we make offers? Always start close in and then go to far away. So the easiest way to make an offer is have a real person with an eyes and nose and a mouth in front of us and make an offer. And an offer can be as simple as, I think I mentioned this moment before because it's a really important offer moment. If I didn't mention the series, I'm mentioning it now here in this context. Here was what one of my offers sounded like once. I was at an event. Somebody came up to me and said, Michelle, there was a deep desire in here. You could feel it, right? She said, I really want to work with you. I know I'm going to be working with you someday, but just not now. I'm not ready. That was the gist of what she said. My offer consisted of one sentence. She said, I want to work with you, but I'm not ready now. I was feeling into, I was using everything that we learn over there in networking, and I'm listening to her intently, not just what she's saying, but all of her body language, everything in her. She says, Michelle, I want to work with you, but I'm not right now. I'm not ready. My offer consisted of four words. I'm not so sure. That's it. I'm not so sure. Yvonne, you know who I'm talking about. Right? And you know the results of that. I mean, phenomenal growth in who she was, what she, I mean, she was thrilled with the investment she made. And Marie, I think you know who that is too. And so a real life person with an eyes, a nose, and a mouth. A great place to make offers. Some people call sales, but I don't even call it that. I don't have to sell stuff anymore. I love sales, don't get me wrong. But I don't sell stuff anymore. I just, you know, open up possibilities and people can step in or not. It's up to them. I don't care. Because if I care, it's going to cause me suffering. Yeah, I want to suffer. So I just open up the possibility because I know what's over here in my court. Let's say there's somebody, you know something about what we're doing in practical applications now. And there's somebody that I'm at a networking event with and they are really messing it up because they're being misspewed all over the place and they're pushing people away and everybody in the room knows it but them. Don't I have something in my court that might help them? Practical applications hasn't even been offered to the world yet, but it will be next year or later this year, right? Hasn't been offered out even to my list. I haven't even offered this to my list yet. So if I were to just sit on that and not offer it to her, it's a disservice. How am I going to offer it to her? Well, I love people to come and talk to me. It's called a strategy session. Now, what's a strategy session for? It's a one-on-one. Here's the definition of strategy session. It's a one-on-one conversation where I'm going to do my best to help the person find their best next step. In my case, what I say is for my business, for their business and for their life. How do they find that empowering story? In a strategy session, I will always help them find that next step, and it's going to be one of three things. One, I'm going to refer them to somebody who can help them. Many of you know Dr. Sarah Reif-Hecking. Maybe they've got a huge time management. And Aaron, you do some overlapping work with Sarah, but a lot of people know Sarah's work. And I know in Karen's community, you've done some work with Sarah, right? So they're overwhelmed and they have a problem managing their time and they can't get stuff done. If in that conversation I find that, I might go refer them to Dr. Sarah because I know people. They want to write a book. And they don't know where to start and they're a real heart-centered person and they're going like, I'm not even sure if I have a book in me, but I think I do. And I'm probably going to refer them over to Marie. Right? So I listen to what, you're welcome, Marie. So I'm going to listen to what it is they need. And one possibility is I'll refer them. A second possibility is I will give them something in their own area. What? Okay, so you've invested in 10 programs and they've cost you a total of $80,000 and you haven't opened the first page in that first one yet. And maybe you're also really angry with all your teachers because none of them have worked, but you haven't started any of the programs yet. I will refer them to something. I'm giving you an exaggerated example, right? But I'll probably refer them to something in their own court. Well, tell me about one of these programs that didn't work. Okay, and you haven't cracked it open yet, but the promise of that is, well, I suggest you go do that. Or maybe you're already working with somebody and, you know, I suggest a deeper dive into that, but pay attention to this. So one possibility, I refer them. A second possibility, I refer them to something in their own court. A third possibility, maybe like that person who is really having trouble networking, they're having trouble with words everywhere in their business and they're not selling anything and they don't know why. If I meet them next October, I might offer them practical applications, for example. Because the best thing that I know in that area is right in my own court, right? So a strategy session is a place where I help people find the best next step. And I tell them that, and people are really afraid of, I don't ever do sales calls. I don't need to. I'm just helping people find the best next step. I had one yesterday morning, and that person is not ready for anything in my court, even though desperately needs the work. The person is, you don't know who it is, so it's confidential, so I can tell you these pieces around it. This person has been spending 35 hours a week for the last year, resulting in no sales. And sometimes 60 hours a week, desperately needs the work that I do, but is not ready for it yet. And I referred to something else. I didn't even mention the higher level work that I do, right? So I'm always meeting people with what do they need. And as I walked into that strategy session, I was pretty sure that that person was not going to be ready. But my daughter says to me, Mom, you're just going to go and serve him and help him the best you can, right? Of course I am. Always do that love, right? So it's a very honoring conversation that has all the principles that we learned over there in networking in it, right? And then in a strategy session, if that person's pain can be solved in something in my area, I'll mention it to them. But by the time I mention it to them, they're probably really going to already want that. I don't have to sell anything. You know that by that time people are saying, Michelle, how can I work with you, right? What's the next step? What can I? And then there's a bunch of things that I do. Maybe that there's an event coming up that I can do. Maybe it's practical applications. Maybe it's my Mexico retreat. Maybe it's working for a year. Maybe it's, if it's in my court, it might be a multiple. Maybe it's a VIP day. Maybe it's this community, right? There's multiple different things that I might do with them. So I have one-on-one conversations. It's like I start over there networking one-on-one. I start one-on-one as well, and I learn there. And when I've done hundreds of strategy sessions, or maybe I've done thousands by now, I don't know how many I've done. I've spoken with so many people, listen to so many people's pain. They've got some kind of pain in my area, they wouldn't be talking to me. By that time, I know what to put on the website. Does that make sense? So start close in and move to far away, because I've had multiple conversations with people and I've actually listened, refer to all those pieces from the networking part, right? And I'm actually listening in that conversation. So strategy sessions are one way that people can enter in one-on-one to higher level work. People can enter in when you have an event. You can make an offer when you're speaking. But the easiest place to do it, and the place to I like to begin, is in a one-on-one conversation. Because think of it this way. Let's say I were to make an offer to all of you to come to my daughter's 20th birthday party in May. Well, it's not going to happen, but I'm using that for example. There's my offer. Okay. Well, why might Erin come to the birthday party? Why might Caroline come, and why might Yvonne come? Yvonne lives in my city and we've known each other for many, many years. And she was there an hour after my man died, right? So we've known each other for a long, long time. She drove us to Edmonton and celebrated my dad's birthday party once, you know, with me. The words that I would use to suggest to Yvonne that she should come to Dana's birthday party would be very different than the words I would use for Erin, because she's got to fly in from Victoria. Why would she want to do that? Now, she's heard quite a bit about Dana. Maybe she wants to meet her. That's not going to convince Yvonne. She's already met her. And Caroline, she's got to come from even further away and doesn't even know my daughter and hasn't heard much about her yet compared to what Erin's heard, right? So if I'm trying to talk to just those three people, I have to have much more skill with words. Hear what I'm saying? It's like, does that make sense? But if I'm just talking to one person and I'm saying to Yvonne, why might you come to Dana's birthday party? I can find much more specific words. And then if you imagine that I'm talking to more and more of my ideal clients, and then the aggregate of that, I'll know what to put on my website, okay? So having one-on-one conversations with people is huge, because I learned the words to say it. So I have a strategy session. And the aim of, so what's a strategy session? So if you have an offer that is $2,000 and up, that's what I call high ticket. So you need to be making that offer. Now, there are exceptions to this, but generally speaking, unless you're really skilled, you need to be making that offer either one-on-one with a person, or you can do it at an event that is structured to do so. All right? You can make that offer at an event that's structured to do so, or you can make it one-on-one with a person. It takes a greater skill to be able to do that from stage speaking. So I would encourage you to do that, to have that offer one-on-one with somebody. The other thing that I encourage you to do, and again, those in Karen's community, you might be learning completely different things. Don't ever think, whatever Karen says, go do that. She's awesome, right? So and sometimes you might hear different advice. Sometimes you might hear me at different times giving this advice over here and then a different piece of advice over here because life is paradoxical. So don't ever think it's written in stone, but I'm going to make a suggestion here to start with high ticket, to start with something that is a high level offer because you get to work with the best people. You get to work with that person and find out what they really, really need. Then as you're crafting your low ticket offer, you've already worked. I'm always about starting close in, starting close in. Who can you work with right away, right now, who at a high, high level, who really needs your work where you can refine your work and really understand what's needed and serve in the best way possible. The way to do so then, strategy sessions become a really important part of your business because that's where you have those one-on-one conversations where you can make an offer to people and something high level that you do. And those who were at the high ticket virtual retreat last week, you know it's a simple process that I teach there, me, my time, and my stuff. But basically, if you weren't at that at that day-long retreat, it's like you've got things in your court. Let me say it in a word, what I teach in a day over there. You've got things in your court. And you are a very unique human being. Even those that you're all teaching about horses in Karen's community, you have something to do, your business has something to do with horses. But you know among you, you do very different things. And the more you can bring out the uniqueness of what you particularly do, the easier it is to make that to know what it is your offer should be. Your offer is always the transformation you provide. What's the change in the person's life? A transformation. And then then you're going to use some kind of vehicle. We mistake what the offer is. The vehicle might be a year-long, joining a year-long mastermind or community. The vehicle might be come to Mexico and work with me for a week. The vehicle might be get on calls Tuesday mornings at Practical Applications. This is a vehicle. But the transformation is what the offer is. In this case, it's Practical Applications, getting results with your words. That's what the offer is, so that you actually get results with your words and find out how to do that in multiple different areas. So that is the offer of Practical Applications, for instance, right? So just as we did last time, we took it a little deeper with speaking. On this call, even though last time we were talking about speaking, we went from networking to speaking. Here I'm starting to talk to you about sales and offers and strategy sessions, and we'll continue this conversation next time as well. Let me stop just for a moment. I want to hear what you've heard so far. One thing that you've heard, so I know that some piece of this is mattering to you, some piece of this, not does it apply, but how does it apply to me? I always ask that question, that there's something that's landed for you. So one aha, boofo, blinding flash of the obvious, what have you heard in around sales or strategy sessions or offers? Something that you didn't know, or something you knew and you know more deeply, or something you've been reminded of. What have you heard? Yeah, Sergio.
Your offer is a transformation.
Yes. Thank you. Crucial. And when you go to talks, you'll find most people miss that. Even skilled speakers. Here's my offer. You can come and do 10 calls with me and I'll give you my book and we'll meet every week and you can ask me questions. And I have no idea what the transformation is. There's no offer there. That's just a vehicle. What are you actually offering? Know your offer. All right. Thank you. Really good. If you just learned that one piece, you'll start to see how people make mistakes with that all over the place. My teacher, Lisa, teaches that 90% of what you talk about should be about the transformation, 10% about the vehicle, right? Because people need to know whether they have to get on a plane and fly to Mexico or whether they're going to be meeting Tuesday mornings on virtually, right? They do need to know that, but it's kind of a footnote. If they really want that transformation, they will come in whatever form it is, right? When they really, really, really want that transformation, they need to want it, right? But it's about the transformation. And how do we know that they want it? Because we dive deeply into their pain. We understand what their pain is, right? Let's hear one more aha. Yeah, Karen.
Oops, sorry.
No worries.
Didn't know that was going to happen. Okay. So I'm thinking about my talk and the so many things that these people and I have in common. We have so much in common that I have to, I've made a ton of notes because I have to totally change. Thanks for how I'm going to start this talk. But
so before you go on, did you hear that? One piece of the internal story is entirely going to change the words that will come out of her mouth, how she appears on stage, what those people will hear, one shift in the inner world story, right? Fantastic. Right. Thank you. I just want you all to hear that. Right. Fantastic. Right. Yes, good.
So from that happening, and then from what you just said, and you said a lot, but I've wrote three words down and underlined them. And one of them is a word that Karen Rolfe uses all the time. And it's, you said, open up the possibility. You know, my offer is a statement, do this. No, my offer needs to be, here's the possibility. Here are the possibilities. If you come and book a strategy session with me, here are the possibilities, not the, this is what you will get a XYZ.
That's all head, right?
Yeah. Right. So the wording has got to drastically change there to open up for possibilities, not just here's what you get, a new car, and here's the keys to your new house. It's not that simple.
Thank you. And thank you for underlining once again. So opening up possibility. And thank you for underlining once again why I don't give you fill in the blank templates and that sort of thing. And if you want me to, I will. I will produce them for you. They will have some use. All right. But how many of you have tried that before and it hasn't worked? And it's for all the reasons that we talk about throughout all of practical applications. It's talking to real people about real things, and real conversations don't happen in that way, whether they're online, even on a landing page, or we're talking to somebody networking, or we're giving a talk and so on. So I open up possibility. And if somebody's just sitting in their head, I'll speak more about this. I'll teach more about this next time. How do we actually have that conversation? More details next time. We'll carry on this conversation, then we'll take it on to online, all right, as well. But if I just stick with this bullet list of things that's, and they're all in their heads, and it doesn't touch anything of that deep transformation in them, nobody's going to care. What's the possibility? And possibility, this notice right from move from pain to hope, that's step number 9. And I in speaking, I said that's going to be important for when we move to strategy sessions as well. We can't open up possibility in a real way unless we've understood the pain. These things are related, right? And so this is, I said that word gap would need to come out of my mouth today, and the word gap should come out of my mouth. Yvonne, will you text me the word gap, please, and open up possibility and from pain to possibility, from pain to hope, because I want to make sure we dive into that in more detail next time, because it's crucial to offers that land. It's crucial to having a strategy session with integrity. It's crucial to what you're going to do on that landing page, because you can't open up possibility for somebody if they haven't really allowed themselves to feel the pain of what actually is. You're not creating pain for people. You're letting them be in that. So for instance, that imaginary person, I've had people come to strategy session with a story something like this, right? I've been working on this full time for 3 years and invested $80,000 and I haven't made any money yet. But if they're in a place of, that's okay, that's all right, it's all okay, but they really are hurting me. You can see they're hurting, but they don't want to face it, or they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want you to talk about it with them. How are you going to open up possibility for them? Well, listen, I see the ways that you could make these 10 sales, or you could actually make some money at it. And then you could have your, you know, daughter go to the school that she wants. And you could, if they haven't really let themselves feel that, the possibility will be just words. If you only heard that, this is transformative for your business. If they will not let themselves feel that pain, you're not going to make an offer, not of something that you do, because none of it will land anyway. They have to be willing to be real with you. And if they're not willing to be real with you, how are you going to do the work with them afterwards anyway? Everything is good, like happy face on empty gas gauge. Everything is good. I love my life. I haven't sold anything, and I've gone. I'm about to file bankruptcy next week. But you know, it's all good. You know, or whatever it is. So, or you know, I just like whatever it is in your area. Great. Then what I would do is keep doing what you're. If it's all good, I'd keep doing what you're doing, and especially this one thing, and give them something that will hopefully open up something for them. Because you can't speak something that somebody is not ready to hear. That's why the listening over there and the networking too is so very important, right? How to have conversations in deep integrity, how to not also, there's nothing of manipulation, there's nothing of forcing, there's nothing of, you don't have to sell something to somebody. You just open up a possibility that somebody can step into if they choose. And again, more details on how to have that conversation I'll talk about next time, but it required a, just like Kieran's talk required a shift in the internal story. Because if she didn't shift that internal story first, it doesn't matter. She could work with the best copywriter on the planet or the best speechwriter who's helping her write that speech, and it's not going to work. It just can't work from that place of that story that I, not that I can see. Not in, in the deepest way that it could work. It, she's smart. She's capable. She's great. She'd make it work, but not in the way that it could. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You, yeah, Kieran, especially, you heard it, right? Really good, because it's yours. All right. Anything else that I want to tell you for sure today? One last thing, and then we're going to open it up to ahas and inspired actions, and we'll continue this conversation next time. I really wanted to make sure we gathered up the threads of where we were, and then it's, I'm telling you a story all the way along too, right? I'm telling you a story about your business. I'm telling you a story about how stories work. I'm telling you a story about how words work, right? And you know, there's a flow and an order to these things too. So I want to add a couple more pieces so that how you make, if you're about to go make an offer, you will already be able to run with it. Reference the things we've already done. It'll make sense, and you'll be able to already do a lot in that conversation. One big thing when in a strategy session, it's you're not selling anything, because it's only one of three things that might happen. You might refer somebody. You might give them a suggestion in their own court. And it's when you're doing strategy sessions, well, it's maybe one in six people, one in five, one in four that will say yes. And most, you're maybe even not even making offers to many of those people of something in your own court. It's a conversation to help people. So it's really easy to have, because you're just helping people all the way along. All right. What you're looking for, if you begin with the end in mind for the strategy session, you are all heart-centered people with amazing gifts. I know that you're going to help people in that conversation if you choose to use this model and have real life conversations with real life people who could do work with you. And I suggest that that's your testing ground anyway, all right? Of learning how to have those conversations online, for instance. So if you begin with the end in mind, this talk teaches a lot of things, but the end is, I want you to want anatomy, and I want you to come and talk to me. And along the way, I'm going to teach a whole bunch of stuff. People are going to go, like, I've had people go this, you know, I've had people in tears, I've had people, you know, change my life, you know. So you're going to teach a bunch of stuff along the way. Same thing with strategy session. A whole bunch of things will happen along the way. But if you begin with the end in mind, for your, the business end is, you're looking, is there a fit between what you do and what they're looking for? You're just looking for a fit. You're not selling anything. Is there a fit? And maybe you do multiple things. What is the fit then? And you need to know that before you make an offer. And if you don't think there's a fit, you're not going to make an offer. And if you think there's a fit, but you think, you know that they can't see that fit, you're not going to make an offer. Right? So you're just, the end is there a fit? All those things from networking kick in. I'm just going to show up and genuinely serve. I've spent 3 and 4, I'm not saying you have to use this model, but it's what I've done. 3 and 4 and 5 hours sometimes with somebody, and in the end, I've referred them to somebody else. But can you bet that comes back to me as goodwill? Are you kidding me? Can you bet that comes back to me in referrals? That comes back to me in them sending their best friends saying, you got to do a strategy session with Michelle? Because I learned things there that I've been working with a coach for 1 and 2 and 3 years. And I learned more in that strategy session than that gave me a 20-year breakthrough that, you know. So to be in that same integrity as you are in networking, you be in that conversation, then it's easy and fun for heart-centered people like you, right? I'll give you more about how to do that, about how to construct that offer, what it is that you're even offering. And also I'll be following your questions. So what do you have the most questions about? And then we'll translate that. We'll both talk about those offers and those sales. If we don't do those, we don't have a business. And then how do we translate that to online? And again, I'll be following your questions. What do you have the most questions about? And there's content that I think that you all really ought to know. So I'll be teaching that as well, because it's going to make a difference in your business and your life. All right. Yvonne, will you text me the word transmutation? Just say transmutation in that whole segment, because there's a piece that I wasn't sure if we were going to get to today or not. We didn't get there, and I want to make sure that I teach that segment next time. How are you even going to find that offer that is at the deepest level of your being, not something that somebody told you to offer, or those, you know, here's a card, here's that, right? How do you really find that? And we're going to do some of that work next time too. All right. It's already 11:30 at my house. Time flies for me. I don't know if this went slowly or quickly for you, but I'm like, man, there's so much I want to share with you guys, right? Let's end with one aha and one inspired action from each of you. And a reminder, we have two more calls in this series, not one. I think Story Freedom Academy still says one, but it's two. Please get them on your calendar. I've given you a bonus Q&A call. And please post a question. If you don't know how to do so, is emily@michellegunderson.com. If you had questions, if there were questions from all of you, we ran out of time, I would find a way to make sure I got those answers to you. All right, we got two more calls. Let's make good use of them. And one aha and one inspired action. And we covered a lot in this call. Different people heard different things. You may find your most important thing, Mary Kay's most important thing, but maybe what Teresa says, and Teresa's most important thing might be what Yvonne says in her aha, because sometimes there might be something that I said in half a sentence that I could do a whole day training on, but somebody else picked that piece up, all right? So just a sentence, one aha, what's the one thing that landed in you, one thing you remember here? Don't think about what it is, because if you're busy thinking about what your aha will be, you'll miss somebody else's. Don't worry, it'll come to you in that moment. Trust. One aha and one inspired action. What's the one thing you're going to do so the things we're doing here are actually going to move something in your business and your world? And I'm just going to go from my top left, and if you need to leave right on the half hour here, thank you for coming. You can catch this part in the transcripts. Remember, those transcripts are there for you. They're always posted within 48 hours of our call. So, and you can listen to the call again. That's posted probably even sooner. Let's start with you, Caroline. You're up in my top left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action. That's a check-offable thing, so I know I actually did it. Something easy that I can do in the world from as a result of what we've learned today.
My ha-ha was probably start with a high ticket. I never thought of that before. I always try to start low and get people into my network kind of, and then move them to something higher. So
here's, I want to do one, I'll only do this once. I hope I'll do my best, but there's so much I want to teach you guys. Alex Mendosian, who's an amazing teacher, he said, this stopped me from making my first seven figures for 3 years because I feel like I have to give people a low ticket, and then a little higher, and then a little higher, and then a little higher, and then a little higher. And all the headaches are in the front end. All the rewards are in the back end. And people, you don't, it's not that that's a wrong path. One can do that. But when we begin with that high ticket, you get to work with the best people. For all those who were at the high ticket virtual retreat last week, I got a whole day on that, but you get to work with the best people. You get to really refine your offer. You know what it is. And it's really hard to start as Walmart and end up as Nordstrom's. Because Walmart is Walmart and Nordstrom's is Nordstrom's. So thank you for hearing that piece. It's not that there's only one right way to do it, but that's the way that I know how to do things, right? And it's a really fun way to be. And again, it creates a road to happiness, as those who are at the high ticket virtual retreat know. It's like it actually produces the conditions of happiness in our lives when we get to work with people at that level. So thank you for that. I couldn't help myself. And one inspired action, Caroline?
To think more about this and see how, because that's going to shift everything. So that's kind of like, oh, I need to really look at this piece. So.
Yeah. What if I even just work with one person at that level? Yeah. And then everything that I'm doing with them goes over there to that low ticket that I'm creating. And they will tell me what they want and what they need. And they're amazing people who actually do the work and et cetera, right? All the headaches in the low end, all the headaches in the front end, all the rewards in the back end. Thank you, Caroline, for hearing that. And again, all those who are in my community reference the whole full day of the high ticket virtual retreat we just did. Yvonne, go ahead. You're next.
Our offers are your offers are your foundation to your business.
Yes, thank you for hearing it.
Mm-hmm. And my inspired action, I've been asked to do a talk.
And you're really quiet, so really speak loudly, Yvonne.
Oh, I've been asked to do a talk, And this afternoon, I want to spend some time in kind of laying a foundation for that.
Yeah, fantastic. You got some great tools here to do it. Great. And so that you know it's check-offable, how do we know that you can check that off? Because always I want check-offable action. What are you going to do to lay the foundation? I'm going to spend an hour laying the foundation, check. Or I'm going to figure out the very first step that I'm going to do, check. Those are different actions so she knows she's actually doing it. What's that check-offable action, Yvonne?
I'm sitting down and create a frame.
Okay, she's going to create the frame. Once she's created the frame, she can check it off. She knows it's doing real things in her world. Fantastic. Erin, go.
My aha is, I think, well, I'm not entirely sure what my aha is, but maybe I'll get to it from my inspired action, is to really consider and apply the practical applications kind of content to a talk that, not a talk, an event I'll be running tonight, and I'll be making an offer there. So,
yes. We haven't even talked about events, but everything we do, it's just a different genre. It's going to have a few specific things, but all we've learned about how words work, it's all going to be useful to you. Yes, beautiful, Erin. Thank you for that. And if you want more specifics on that, ask questions about it. I know for you it's tonight, but whatever your area is, and I'll go over there. Thank you. And what's your aha then? It might be what I just said.
Well, I think what it is that... So it doesn't seem, well, maybe sure, I'll call it a blind flash. The obvious, the options when you're supporting them, you know, you could refer them to someone else. You could refer them back to themselves to do work that they continue doing with a tweak and then, or offer something in my court.
It's no one taught me that, but it just made sense to me. And that's one of the most powerful things. Thank you for underlining it, that I do, I would say, in strategy sessions, because I really, really do that. And everyone who's had a strategy session with me knows that that's what I do. And so it makes that conversation really, really easy and fun to have. You just get to serve people and serve people and serve people. It's fun and easy, right? Thank you for hearing that and underlining that. Grace, you're up.
Do I have to choose just one?
Thank you for that.
Wow. So I think part of it is, what is the transformation? That's the offer. What's the transformation I bring to people? And right after this call at 11, I'm meeting with the marketing group. And so throughout the call, I've been writing down what is the transformation I offer. And so my action is to become really clear and ensure that the words that are coming from within me are not lost with the marketing firm. And we have that conversation today.
Fantastic. So it's focused in the right place that will actually yield you results. Yes, yes, and yes. Thank you, Grace. Teresa, you're up.
My aha is that I can probably do the higher ticket consultation, carry some over several months. I've been thinking in terms of designing a class and going module based, and I'm thinking it might work better to be more personalized.
Yes, and again, it doesn't have to be either or, but when you work with that one person, and again, we're in our community, a high ticket virtual retreat, we just did it, so it's really, really fresh in my mind and deep in me right now. It's also why we're doing sales and offers right now. I will learn how to do those modules and what people even need by working with that person. So it will help me make a much better modules and classes and so on, if that's what I want to do.
Right.
And then, go ahead.
The action will be, now in the strategy session, we need to be able to refer people. I need to reach out to the Karen masterminders. What is it everybody really does?
Ah.
That maybe they're the appropriate referral person.
Fantastic. And do you see how generous hearted this is too, and how uplifting it is, and how none of it has to do with, remember the first call, something about, words that manipulate people, or, and it's nothing like that. It's like, how do we uplift each other? And the words of EWM networking, lift as we climb. How do we actually serve on this planet and use our words to help each other? And then I've referred people who really need work in story to other people who work in the field of story. They needed a different aspect of story than they need or could get from me. And how powerful is that? Then I can tell people, hey, you might need some work in story. I refer people to other people in story if that's what they need. It's really powerful. It helps people get past their fear of, if I have a conversation with you, you're going to sell me something? No. Not if you don't want it. Why would I do that? That's just a dumb conversation to be in, right?
Well, because, everybody does something different with horses, and I'll be talking to horse people.
Yes. I think you need Caroline's work, because what she does is et cetera, et cetera. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then again, we're all up-leveled. Yes. And it helps you find the words more distinctly for what you do. How is what I do different from what Caroline does or what Mary Kay does, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful. Marie, you're up.
My aha is around the transformation as well. Like what I offer, or my offer is a transformation. So similar to Grace, I really want to dive deeper into what is that. Having the words for it. I know what happens, but finding the words.
Oh, and I love you made that distinction. And you work with words, right? And to have the words to say it, what is the thing that's happening makes me look more closely at that transformation too, so that I understand my own work at a deeper level as I find the words to say it.
Yeah. And my inspired action is to meet with Anne right after this call, because we're talking about my high ticket and a writing retreat in Bali. So, woo!
Fantastic. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Anne, one aha, one inspired action.
Okay, my aha is, I think, similar to Marie too, just working more on how to get my message across, to go into me and get more focused on what my message is.
Yeah, and when we do transmutation next time, there'll be another piece of that, of what is exactly the thing that's mine and not somebody else's. So we'll do a piece of that next week that's going to help with that, right? And then your inspired action, Anne. Beautiful, yes.
Is to go back and look at these calls, because I've missed most of them.
And so enjoy. You got so much waiting there for you, right? You did the quick, cliff notes overview, and now you're going to get to do the deep dive. So super exciting and fantastic. It's a great, great thing to do. Check off a bullet. It's going to take you a few hours. There's a lot of really cool materials there for you. All right. Thank you. Sherry, you're up.
So I think my aha is that, you can go from being a little unsettled, because that's how I started the call, and get focused and really get some great inspiration if you don't give up.
Nice. It's one of the reasons we start with Shavasana too, because we all come from wherever we come from. What is it to bring that mind into focus and then know that there's going to be something there for me, because there always is, because that is the empowering story that I tell within myself and learn, right? And create. Fantastic. Yes. Beautiful. And then your inspired action.
I'm going to sit down and script my webinar presentation for Monday this afternoon.
Beautiful.
I have the outline in the slides. So I'll script it, and that may be tweaked, but that's
done.
Inspired action.
Love it. Check off a bullet. When you say script and it's a webinar, let it be not like the, rote thing, but I do understand what you're saying. It's like, what is it that I want to say? And then when you're there, be awake, be alive, be, let it be from the heart. And if you have questions about that too, like, let me know. Perfect. Thank you.
That's usually how I do it. Because it then flows if I
scream. But you need to know what the points are, right? Like,
yes.
Here's what I'm going to talk about, right? Good. Mary Kay, I think you're up next.
Oh, well, I'm excited because I found out how I can find more about my
Hard to hear you, so speak really loudly, please.
I found out how I can learn more about the audience that I'm speaking to in April. And because I never thought about just asking, what do we have in common? So I've got a whole page of that, and I also have, I can network with them the day before, I think,
Yes, beautiful. And those all those skills that we're learning over there in networking directly apply to sales. And if you're speaking somewhere, you can call up the host and ask them, tell me about your audience too, right?
Well, I did that, but she doesn't know anything about the audience.
Right. But you can learn more and you know more. And the thing from Karen, yeah, beautiful. And then what's your inspired action, Mary Kay?
I'm going to go back to my, I have two Simple Mind outlines, and I'm going to look at them and make a third one with this in mind about what do we have in common.
Yeah, beautiful. Love it. Thank you. Directly applying what we've been doing here. All right. And I know some have been leaving as we go, and you're on my screen and then you change places. So if I ask you twice where I miss you, let me know. All right. No, I'm not doing it on purpose. Sometimes you spoke earlier in the call and I think you've said your aha right now. And it's just, yeah. So forgive me if that happens. Karen, I think you're up next. Yes.
So hard to choose between the ahas and the inspired action. So I'll start with my inspired action. I need to rewrite in a day the beginning of the talk, because this was a blank piece of paper, but now I have all these bullet things that, and I have an order now that I know they need to be in.
Fantastic.
And that really is because of me starting off by saying we have nothing in common, and me knowing that we do have a ton in common, just like you said to that woman, four words, I'm not so sure. It's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a whole different talk will be produced that will be at a whole different level from that one inner story piece. Fantastic. Thank you. So that's both your aha and your inspired action. Yes. Or was that your aha? I think, we got both. Right?
No, it was both. But now here's what I'm going to say about my inspired action. As I'm doing this rewrite now, after all these post-it notes that are everywhere, I have written the introduction that the woman who's sponsoring this talk, that it would just read, it's just kind of like, yeah, this is Karen Jones, blah, 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 blah. But I think I want to rewrite the introduction with a bit of an offer. Here's Karen Jones, and here's what she can offer you.
Ah, right. Your bio is not about you. It's about why it matters to them. Just that one key about bios, but it's always the same. You come in service, and who's that person, and know your audience. And so you'll have answers to how you write your bio that I haven't even talked about here yet. Thank you. Yes. From the other genres that we're diving into. Sergio, you're up. Beautiful, Karen. Thank you. Sergio.
So my hours are to do with the strategy session. You can make long ones, 3 to 5 hours, and offer at the deepest level of being, and you can transform them just within the strategy session.
Yeah, and here's something I want to emphasize, and we'll go into this more further, further next time. Your aim is not to coach in a strategy session. It's really important. It's single-pointed. What is that person's best next step? Because if you accidentally do too much coaching, or even any coaching, don't do any coaching, try not to coach, and I'll tell you more about that next time, then they will end up too full and you won't be able to serve them more deeply. They'll have that one day and they won't have something further. And how we do that, we'll talk about that next time, right? Yvonne, can you add that? Just like make sure that, don't coach in the strategy session. I'll teach more about that. And still, remarkable transformation can happen. Yes. Your inspired action.
I'm going to work through a course I've got on creating strategy sessions.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Yes, good. Laura, you're up.
Okay. So my big aha was that your offer is always the transformation you provide. Because I think my offer tends to be the vehicles as opposed to the transformation. And so my action item is my husband and I are hugely revamping our website. And I really want to make sure that problem solution keeps coming up as we're doing this. And so that front page needs to have that transformational offer as problem solution.
Thank you. Yes. I love that there's been so many transformations on your websites, and we haven't even got to that part yet. That's next week, right? But when we move from that close in to far away, and when we understand the principles of the words that we use to create that transformation, or the words that we use in those different areas, and what words have people reach people, what words land, then we start to know how the game is played. We start to know how to use our words in all those different arenas. So great to hear. Thank you for those half of you who are still here. I know we've gone quite a bit over on this call, but I wanted to stay to hear all those ahas. Was there anybody I missed because people have needed to leave? You're on a different page on my screen. Did I miss anybody who's still here live? Okay, thank you. So have a fantastic week, everybody. Love you all so much. I'm so grateful for your amazing participation here, for all the things that you're receiving of this and taking up and grabbing and running with it on your own. Words matter so much in every area of our businesses. And if even one piece from this call changes words you use to change your business out there so you can help even one more person on the planet, that makes me my day. That's why I get up out of bed in the morning. And so thank you for touching my life so deeply. Have a fantastic week. Please remember to post your questions and we'll see you here. If you're in my community, I'll see you on Thursday for another call. If you're here just for practical applications, I'll see you a week from now, same time, same place. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.